Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Grant Nanny here. Pete is in for G-Plea.
I'm sure that's a person.
G-Plea.
G-P is the initials I'm looking for there. Would have accepted it. G-P.
He's looking for baseball players in the Dominican.
G-Plea. It's probably Blitz time, as I said. We'll spin around the beltway. What's going on in D.C. sports? We're going to start with the Redskins. All right, buddy. Chris Russell joins us here on the Blitz to talk some Skins. Russell, we just kicked this around between Pedro and myself. Off-field, we know the difference, right? Organizations that look good, that have general managers, ownerships that don't get in the way. Forget about that. On-field stuff. What do the Redskins need the most to be like these teams they got to play this past weekend and are now in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I was, I talked a little bit about this yesterday and going to talk a little bit more about this. And Pro Football Focus put out there, and people feel differently about that website and those people and that crew there. But they put out the two top needs was a running mate for Terry McLaurin and a stable mate, if you will, for Quentin Dunbar, corner. And I think, listen, I understand the wide receiver as a potential need or as a realistic need. To me, this team needs at least one really good corner to pair with Quentin Dunbar. And I would argue, Danny, Pete, that they would need two, because I'm not sure that Jimmy Moreland is this great slot corner. I mean, I think he's more of a backup roster guy who can help you as opposed to a starter, especially if you're going to ask him to play primarily in the slot. I mean, we know Fabian Moreau is better on the outside, but we don't know that Fabian Moreau is all that good on the outside just because he had a couple of moments and he didn't look absolutely awful. I still think they need a guy there, maybe not a stud, maybe not a Hall of Famer, because ideally Quentin Dunbar, if he can stay on the field, and that's his biggest problem, he should be the number one corner. But in a passing league, they need that more than anything. And then they need to really work on their offensive line. To me, wide receiver is like a need, but it's like way backwards. So I think those are the areas that this team could most immediately improve and most immediately become competitive in year one of Ron Rivera and Jack Del Rio and Scott Turner.
Let's take it one step further, Chris. Do you trust that we have a fair evaluation of some of those players based on the way they were used by the previous administration? And i.e., I'll come back to a Jimmy Moreland in this situation. Do you think we have a fair evaluation of what some of these guys can do at this point? And again, we're kind of in a jury still out situation till even OTAs and maybe part of training camp before we see how these guys fit into what Jack Del Rio wants to do.
No doubt, Pete. And it's a great point. Obviously, we found out, a guy like Moreau, I think we already know he's not a slot guy. He's an outside guy. Moreland, I think the book is still open on, just using those two guys as an example. We know Eric Flowers is not a tackle in this league. We know he's a guard. Can he play right guard if Brandon Scherff is not? I don't know. So, yes, I do think there's going to be some period of evaluation on the field when this team can get after it, OTAs, and they'll have a little bit of extra time. Maybe that's in advance because of the coaching switch. They'll be able to meet and work with the coaching staff and the training staff a lot earlier this year than normal. So maybe that helps. But the bottom line is this. I think smart football people, and I count Ron Rivera, Jack Del Rio, I think Scott Turner, I know Kyle Smith, whoever ultimately becomes the GM, assuming that they add one, I think they'll be able to figure out, okay, maybe it'll be a little trial and error. Maybe we might have to mix and match a little bit, but it's okay to have versatility, but we're going to put these guys in the best position. And then on top of that, maybe their best position and maybe their best area of play is different because of the schemes that these coaches are bringing over. So this is what we don't know, and this is what we have to kind of guess and figure out. But here's what I know. We all know that this team needs more help, more depth at corner, and we all know this team needs more help, more depth at offensive line. And I heard you guys talking about tight end. obviously that's a priority need, in my opinion, more than anywhere else. Those three areas are the three places that I start with.
Russell, thank you, buddy. Enjoy the week.
Thanks, fellas.
We'll see you, my friend. There he goes. Let's talk some puck, please, Tommy. Jaren Jackson Reagan, NBC Sports Washington, joins us. Double J, we're at the break here. Pull up, assess at the midpoint, rough midpoint as it is here at the All-Star break. Capitals, you got to give them an A for the first half. What are the needs maybe going forward? What needs to be fixed?
The biggest thing for me is defense. I think they have a hole in their top four, and that's on the right side of the second pair. I think Nick Jensen is a serviceable third pair righty, and so is Radko Gudas. But that's a pretty significant weakness for a team with Stanley Cup aspirations. In terms of net, I think they're exactly where they need to be. I know people are a little bit worried about Holtby, but we've seen this situation before where he struggles in the regular season. He's a guy who likes to be busy. So if called upon, I think he could do well in the playoffs. But right now, the goal belongs to Ilya Samsonov, who has totally outplayed him. And, of course, the offense is as good as any offense in the league.
J.J., Brian McClellan over the Junkies the other day talked about, hey, we're open for business, as he always seemingly is, at trade time. If he does indeed make a deal, what assets are they possibly looking to move? Because we do have, the expansion draft later on down the line that factors into some of the thinking for some of these teams when they go to make a deal. What does he do, and what kind of assets is he looking to maybe to move to try and bolster this team?
Well, when you're all in, that means all draft picks and any prospects who you do not think have a central role in your future are on the table. So I'm doubtful you're going to trade roster players because they've been so good through the first season. I don't think they'll mess that dynamic up there. So pretty much any of their futures are on the table because you don't know how many opportunities you will have with the core that you currently have with the Ovechkins, with the Backstroms. But you did note the expansion franchise. So one interesting prospect who could be on the table, I don't know this for sure, but Vitek Vanacek, if his contract runs through the expansion draft, so he could be a guy. Every team has rules about who they can protect from the expansion draft, but there are also rules about who you have to expose, and you have to expose at least one goalie with term. So that could be an interesting prospect for a team. Maybe who wants to see what this guy can do at the NHL level, and if he isn't up to snuff, then, well, hey, they could at least leave him exposed and fulfill that requirement. So maybe somebody to look at there.
Jackson Jeffcoat, how do you think this goalie thing is going to play out? Do you think it's as simple as what we saw a couple years ago where, I mean, it sounds funny to remember that Grubauer started the first couple games of the postseason and then Holtby took over one on that amazing run. Do you think it's something like that, or do you think this might be Ilya Samsonov's job at some point?
So if the playoffs were to start today, I don't think there's any way you couldn't start Ilya Samsonov in net. So what I anticipate will happen, I think he's going to get a lot more starts down the stretch. I don't think he's just going to be the outright number one because this is his rookie season in the NHL. I don't think they're going to overload him and give him too much too soon. So if you recall back in that 2018 year, Holtby was at his absolute worst, and he still split time with Phil Grubauer. So I would anticipate down the stretch, Holtby and Samsonov splitting time, almost a 50-50 split, maybe leaning a little bit more towards Samsonov. And Holtby going in, right, I would have to say Holtby would be the backup. But as I mentioned before, Holtby likes to be busy. The playoffs are set up perfectly for him because you play literally every other night. So I anticipate them going in with Holtby being the backup. And if Samsonov does struggle because he's a rookie and you don't know how he's going to handle the NHL playoffs, you have Holtby there. I know a lot of people want to trade Braden Holtby because it's his last year of a contract. You don't want to lose that for nothing. But you've seen this story play out before. They won a cup doing it. So I don't anticipate them changing things up right now.
JJ, thank you. Appreciate the time.
Anytime, guys.
We'll see you, buddy. There he goes. That is JJ Reagan, NBC Sports Washington. And that right there is how we Beltway Blitz. Coming up, 12:18. Who are you rooting for in the Super Bowl? Early read. We know who the teams are. We know what it's going to be. We get you some of the details about what the line, what the bettors are saying. What's the sharp money doing? Let's figure out what the sharp money is doing. We know that. We know who the teams are. Okay? Who are you pulling for? That's simple. 12:18 next on the Fan. It's It's Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Pete in for GP. All the live long week long. Tweet us at Funny Danny at Pete Medhurst. This just came across my Twitter before we jump into who you're pulling for in the Super Bowl. Happy 57th birthday, Hakeem Olajuwon. Oh, I guess I should have said it's birthday. Then we should have spent 10 minutes guessing how old he was. Did I mess that segment up? Oh, one of these days I'll get to be a professional. Anyway, 57 years old. People don't properly remember Hakeem Olajuwon, Pete, for two reasons. One, the best post player I ever saw. So I saw Abdul-Jabbar at the end of his career. You couldn't stop the skyhook. He had the skyhook and a counter, basically. Olajuwon went down there and made breakfast. Mm-hmm. I mean, Olajuwon used the whole space, had ball fakes on ball fakes. His feet were incredible. He was buckets. You couldn't stop him. All-time leader in block shots. They also don't properly remember him because he inspired this show to try to emulate him. Brendan Dar still hasn't eaten chicken nuggets since that day. In shooting a commercial for McDonald's, Hakeem Olajuwon did take after take after take after take where he ate a chicken nugget. He ate 100 chicken nuggets during the filming of this commercial.
Was he hungry?
He's just a pro. That's all he was. Yeah, wow. I suppose he was hungry. Our very own Tom Daley and Brendan Dar-Lago decided to take the Hakeem Olajuwon challenge. And I believe...
Oh, I remember that. That
I believe you guys were right around 60, if memory serves. Do you guys remember your totals, how close it was?
I think I forced my way into, like, 65. I think I got into the final box.
If memory serves, if I may, Thommy came out hot. You went so fast, right? And Dar was kind of slow and steady. Your theory was, I'm going to get full. I'm going to get sick of him. Let's just do it as fast as possible. Dar kind of went slow.
Man versus food style.
Exactly. Adam Richmond style.
My theory was wrong, and I think I ended up eating 60. They were just not as good as they were at the beginning of the day.
Of course. I mean, you get tired of chewing. The looks on your faces.
As someone who used to cook those and eat those at one point, You can get off to an easy, quick start eating a bunch of those at one time.
Yeah, the first box was gone super quick, maybe 5 minutes.
Right.
You can down a 20-piece. You can down a 20-piece in pretty reasonable amount of time. It's once you get beyond that and you start to, you know, because your friend is your dipping sauce.
Right.
It's sweet and sour, barbecue. You try to freshen it up by using different sauces. But even after about 25, it just all kind of becomes one.
Then you have the physical problems of the actual jaw pain, the repetitive chewing. You don't want to swallow anymore. There's a lot of reasons why that can become a problem very quickly.
All I did that one day I didn't properly prepare for it and had a terrible showing. Remember the peanut butter and jelly challenge when Duke's challenged? And I didn't get through. I finished four, couldn't get to a fifth sandwich. I haven't eaten peanut butter and jelly since then.
Really?
I was so full. Of course you do. It's delicious. I was so full and disgusted, but you get so tired of chewing the same
thing. The redundancy
thing.
Of it.
The redundancy. And especially with with the peanut butter, just fighting it at that point. I can't imagine. They looked terrible. And I'm not joning. I'm saying you could see the sickness.
Well, towards the end, we were miserable.
Yeah,
we were just trying to get through it.
You could see it. I mean, it was. Dar did that thing that he does when Grant makes a point that Brendan thinks is incorrect or knows is incorrect, or like we just talked about it, he forgot or something like that. Who knows? Dar did that head shake thing, but not because of a point, but because of the next nugget that he had to look at. Right?
Yeah, I think I did that 59 times.
You're so disgusted.
34.
But Hakeem Olajuwon, 57 years old. Where's he pantheon for you, real quick? I know we're talking
NBA
about football.
NBA or college?
NBA.
NBA?
College is a different animal. What an incredible career there, too.
Definitely top 20 NBA. I mean, the guy was a dominant player at his position during his time.
He didn't make your top 10?
What do you like in your top 10? I mean, there's so many wings out there. How deep are we going back?
For you, your lifetime, who you saw. So I can't tell you about Bill Russell. I'm sure he was great.
So that means I would leave Wilt off because Wilt was pretty much even
before
though
your time.
I was like three when Wilt.
And I remember stopped. I only saw the end of Abdul-Jabbar when he, you know, was getting dragged up and down the court. It was really about Magic and Worthy and company. So I go Jordan 1, LeBron 2, Magic 3, Bird 4, Olajuwon 5.
Wow.
That's my five.
Wow, you would put him that high?
Yes. Pete, All-time block shots leader. This was 27, 12, 4, and 4 before people were doing that. He could play in any era because he wasn't Shaq. He wasn't 7'2", 400 pounds. He was probably 6'9". As athletic as anybody, could defend, get up and down. In this era where centers shoot jump shots, you don't think that guy could have shot jump shots? He was incredible.
He was probably good. He was good to 15 to 16 feet out. I don't think you were ever going to see Hakeem step out to 3 points.
In that era, no, because right. It wasn't done. But you're telling me that guy, as good a touch as he had, couldn't have done it? He's my number five.
Wow. I Jordan, Bird, Magic, LeBron. I mean, in terms of impact, you could argue, because I love James Worthy at the power forward position. I would put him in the category. Elvin Hayes, another guy I would put at that category. Allen Iverson would certainly, from an individual player standpoint, be in that category. But, I mean, it's hard to argue. Again, we start getting into an area where there's not much really differentiating some of these guys.
It's eye of the beholder. But you had that run, and I know we're way digressing here. We're talking about Hakeem Olajuwon.
Mid-90s was phenomenal. That run that he had in the early to mid-90s with the Rockets was great.
For basically the first 12, 13 years of his career, It's mid-20s points, 13 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and 4.5 block shots. Or 4 block shots, rather, per game. This just wasn't
just
done what he was doing.
He was a model of consistency
he
as a player.
He was incredible.
Very few off nights from Hakeem.
Anyway. Digression there. Who are you pulling for in the Super Bowl? 800-636-1067. Who are you pulling for in the Super Bowl? I'll give you my answer in a minute. Pete, who are you pulling for?
Kansas City Chiefs.
How come?
Andy Reid. I want to see Andy Reid win. The guy's done everything he can possible. He's not a pretentious guy by any stretch of the imagination. Players that have always played for him have loved playing for him, and he seemingly has gotten the most out of his players when he's gotten there. I just want to see the guy break through one time and win a championship. He's been close. He's had teams that you thought were going to break through and do it and didn't. So I'm hoping Andy Reid can finally get over the top here. So I'm going to root for the Kansas City Chiefs.
I don't hate anybody in this thing. So my enemies are all dead. The Giants, Eagles, Cowboys, Patriots, in varying order, teams that I despise, have all lost. I got my Schadenfreude out of the way. I'm now pretty much happy with anything. I'll tell you my answer here at 12:30. But let's get your calls. 800-636-1067. Might surprise you a little bit. That's all I'm going to say about it. That's all I'm going to say. It's Grant Nanny here on The Fan. Pete Measure's in for GP. Who are you pulling for in the Super Bowl? Talk about it next. I gambled and lost, Pete. I thought I could do that one last bite of my sandwich and get us back in time. I was wrong.
That's okay. You sound great.
No, it's not true.
People can't see it. You're still chewing. You still got it kind of in the back of your mouth there. You're doing a professional job here of chewing in the back.
Now it's gone.
So you can, they see, there you go. Yeah, nobody knew the difference.
I know, but
nobody knew the difference.
It's unprofessional.
Don't be hard on yourself. Nobody knew the difference. You're not the first guy that's ever eaten while on the air before.
I have a joke there, but I'm going to holster that joke at the time. Welcome back. It's Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Pete is in for GP all week
long.
Does
anybody ever wear a holster anymore? I thought people just tucked them in their like belt loop.
Well, people have cell phone holsters. That lets you know that I drive around a lot for work. And
I'm an important person here.
If you've got a cell phone holster, you know what you have is a pocket. Use your pocket, sir. Why don't you put that cell phone holster away?
As we talk about holsters real quick, I'd like to bring up Roy Rogers' holster fries.
Go on. Absolutely.
Tell me about that. I don't know anything.
You don't know anything about this?
What's a holster fry?
So the receptacle that you would get your French fries in at Roy Rogers, it had a belt loop in it. You could put it on your belt, holster fries.
Swear to God.
I can't believe you don't know about this.
How do you not know about this?
Unbelievable, Danny. It was one of the great things at that time. At one point, Roy Rogers served unbelievable burgers, terrific roast beef and chicken. I mean, they had, at one point, as good a menu back in the holster fry days as anybody out there.
The Frisco bacon cheeseburger.
Yes.
The Gold Rush chicken sandwich.
Gold Rush.
And their strawberry shortcake, which was actually the base of it, was a biscuit. Then they put all
biscuit,
that strawberry filling
right
on top of. It was phenomenal. I wore out that Roy Rogers on Wisconsin Avenue, not far from the Sidwell French School. It was a home court. I never got to holster my fries.
Oh, yeah.
Is it something they don't do anymore? They used to do it?
I went to, last place I got it was Chesapeake House on 95, maybe 5 to 6 years ago. They still had them.
The ones on the New Jersey Turnpike do not. They give them to you in a regular situation now. But, I mean, there was one in Landover Mall when I was growing up that my grandmother and I used to go to every Saturday, and I would always go in there because they had Holster fries. I thought it was the coolest thing.
This is a big shock. I thought you would have been on this.
I think you have to upgrade to them now.
Like, you have to ask for them?
It's like beyond the large. It's the Holster fry.
Embarrassing. I don't know about that. Now, this is not a bit, right?
No, not a bit.
You show me a picture, Tom, during the commercial break? Or I can see it there. Is it the red one, the burgundy one? That's a Holster of fries. Look at that.
So the cardboard is made to look like leather, on the backside, there's just two slits that you can put your belt through.
Okay, that's pretty great.
Really great.
Anyway, if you have the cell phone case on the outside of your pantaloons, I don't know. I mean, pockets are just so wonderful.
You could be an engineer.
Don't click on that cat video. All right. Who are you pulling for in the Super Bowl? Pete said Kansas City Chiefs. It's a good reason, right? That fan base, you star for it. You saw grown men crying.
50 years,
50
man.
50 years. Andy Reid. When he's the Eagles coach, I don't care for him much, obviously. But now he's not
tormenting. You can root for him now.
Yeah, now he's not tormenting him anymore. I have an appreciation for Andy Reid. The biggest reason I appreciate him is because the typical NFL coach, or really the football coach in general, what do you think of? It's physicality, hat on a hat, get down low and fire off and stop the run and establish physical dominance.
Pad level.
Yeah, that's not him. All he is really smart, and all he's done is adapt and grow and change over the years. I said this at the top of the show. Look at what his offense is in 2019. Go back to 1999 when he first starts. He's running he's a West Coast disciple. It's this quick pass, that quick pass, 1-2-3 ball comes out. Now he's running jet sweep action on a screen going back to the second tight end who came across the formation, who got down and barked like a dog at one point. I mean, the stuff that he's doing now, colleges are going, that's probably too gimmicky for us. We should probably dial it back a little bit. It's awesome. I love watching Andy Reid's offenses go. He is a guy that has figured out efficiency, has figured out how to do things that you don't want him to do so that he can get to do what he wants to do, right? He'll just check it down to a running back on first down for 5 yards. It didn't look like much, but that's a successful first down play. Most people try to run the ball to get that. He doesn't bother with that.
Like
he doesn't care about the ratios.
What San Francisco used to do with Roger Craig. They'd throw on first down and get 4 or 5 yards. And
beautiful.
In terms of down and distance schedule, you'd much rather have second and five, whatever. The biggest thing with him, Danny, is what has it been? Like last year, you know, what has it been that always seems to trip him up in the playoffs? Sometimes it's not his fault, but sometimes his teams inexplicably have come up short in these playoff runs when you thought for sure they were the dominant team, that they were definitely going to go, and yet they don't go somehow. I mean, that's the only thing that is really missing on his resume
is that
little chapter right there.
So if they win it,
of inexplicable playoff losses.
If they win it, I'm not going to be upset, right? I'll enjoy it. I like Pat Mahomes so much.
I feel a butt coming here, though.
Give me the 49ers in this one. I love process. I believe you plug in the right numbers into the calculator enough times, you get the right answer. San Francisco has done what I want done, right? They stuck with a head coach. They figured out a guy that was going to that they thought was going to be a great head coach, right? After his career here in Washington, where his name is mud, nobody likes the Shanahans. He had to go to the wilderness, that post in Alaska that the guy who screwed up in Mission Impossible had to go. He did that in Cleveland, went to Atlanta. They should have won the damn Super Bowl there if he just run the ball once or twice, by the way, when they're up in the fourth quarter, kick a field goal. We're not talking about Tom Brady or 28-3 ever again. Atlanta should have won there. His offenses were unbelievable, scoring 34 points a game with Matt Ryan and company. He's a great head coach. He figured it out. We need to do what it takes to make Kyle Shanahan successful. We're not going to force something on him. We're not going to make him adapt to our thing. We're going to adapt to his. Enter John Lynch, a general manager who knows there's some things he doesn't know. Figuring out what kind of team we want to be. Figuring out how we acquire as many assets as possible. Drafting. Being able to receive that phone call from Chicago. When they screw up, you take it to your advantage. You take a bunch of picks to move back one spot so those dolts can draft old Mitch Trubisky. They acquired Jimmy Garoppolo for a second rounder. They have added and layered talent upon talent upon talent. Guys that other people didn't want, we'll figure it out. We'll bring you Raheem Mostert and plug him into our system who was cut by everybody.
Seven teams.
Right? He's fast. We'll figure it out with him, okay? I love San Francisco's process. To me, they are the blueprint. If you are a Washington Redskins fan, you go, that's what's possible. And no shortcuts to it, okay? You got to work really hard to do it. You got to figure out a way to be just like them. But that's the first. You've taken that first step. You've got three defensive linemen that are pretty good in Allen, Ioannidis, and Payne.
And that's what comes back to the point you and I talked about all the way back in the first hour. If somebody comes to the table to you with a stupid deal at that wants the number two pick for something, you can do what San Francisco did and all of a sudden enhance your chances much quicker by making a deal the way they did with Chicago.
If you end up with Pat Mahomes or Deshaun Watson or Tom Brady or Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers, there's your path. Congratulations, you got a superstar quarterback.
But not everybody gets that.
Not everyone gets to get it. And you could sit around twiddling your thumbs, overdrafting, overtrading, trying to figure out a way to find that next special guy. There just aren't very many. They just don't make many of them. If they did, everyone would try to get one, or everyone would get one, and that'd be the easiest way to build your team. San Francisco has done that without the superstar quarterback, okay? And maybe Dwayne Haskins turns into the superstar. I like Haskins an awful lot. Counting on somebody to turn into the superstar quarterback that will carry your franchise no matter what is a fool's errand. If you get one, you hold on to that guy for dear life. But for the most part, it's Dak Prescott. For the most part, it's Kirk Cousins. It's Ryan Tannehill. It's a bunch of guys that are fine if everything's great around them, and you have to overpay for it. I need the non-special quarterbacks to get there sometimes. For a team that's got a great process, which is what San Francisco has, they figured out we're going to sit here and we can twiddle our thumbs and wait and overdraft and try to get the next superstar quarterback. They don't make many of those guys, or we could build an incredible team.
Mark
and that's
Griffin
what they've done.
Won a quarterback around a superior team, just to tie it back into Washington.
Of course, I mean the history. Eli Manning's an example of that. Now he's going to go to the Hall of Fame because he played in New York and pulled a couple passes out of his tuchus. He had great playoff runs. That is as pedestrian a quarterback that you'll find league-wide for most years. He's typically around 12 to 17 in terms of quarterback rankings. The years he's worse. And yet, you built a couple great teams around him, had some great defensive lines, and David Tyree caught a ball that he shouldn't have caught.
Right.
Next thing you know, you got a couple Super Bowls. The point that I'm rooting for here in San Francisco is this is the blueprint if you don't have the Hall of Famer quarterback. You're not likely to have one. That's why it's a Hall of Fame. It's not everybody gets to go if you play in the league for 10 years. Right? Now, I hope Haskins turns out amazing. I'm a Haskins guy. I like him. You're asking an awful lot for him to be able to carry a franchise for decades plus. Let's go to Ben in Rockville. Who are you rooting for in this one, Ben? Good afternoon.
Hey, buddy. I have to agree with you, dude, on Andy Reid. And one of the least discussed things about this guy is what he went through with his son committing suicide. Nobody discusses his personality and what makes him such a great example of a coach. So, I'm actually willing to root for Kansas City based on the fact of Andy Reid as a human being, as a coach. It's just nobody talks about what he went through with his son. It's one hell of a story if they were to win. I really hope he does.
Ben, thank you, buddy. Appreciate that. I mean, it's one of those things that it's hard for me to – that's why I'm not rooting against Andy Reid, and he's 100% right. Unimaginable tragedy that Andy Reid and his family endured. And so I'm not going to be upset if Andy Reid hoists the trophy. Again, because I'm a Reid guy. I like him a lot. So I'm happy with this matchup, by the way. Basically, the only team out of the last four, Pete, that I didn't want to see, and I like Mike Vrabel a ton, was Tennessee. It's the only thing I didn't want.
Well, there's nothing aesthetically entertaining about what Tennessee
Not
does. You know, the fact that Ryan Tannehill would have been in the Super Bowl. Think about that. You know, here's a guy that, under Adam Gase, looked, you know, completely overmatched as an NFL quarterback. Shocker, you get him away from Adam Gase, you give him a solid running game, all of a sudden he looks like a competent quarterback, at least at that point. For you down the stretch, and a heck of a lot better than Marcus Mariota.
And Arthur Smith, by the way. That dude can call Ooh. Some offense, can't he?
Look, Haas could have taken a job with FedEx and been fat and happy for the rest of his life. He chose to go a different route and coach in the NFL. What an explosion for him all of a sudden onto the coaching scene.
Now, that's a guy whose name needs to be bandied about for the next hot thing. But that's interesting. Speaking of hot things, terrible transition by me, but Craig Lachlan's coming on the show. At 12:46, he'll be joining us next. Go over the Capitals at the All-Star break. 1 o'clock, our buddy Jerry Brewer will join us to break down the Super Bowl matchup. Craig Lachlan, 5 minutes away here on The Fan. Guys, Danny Ruye with you, telling you about my friends at EMP 180 Weight Loss. I am a graduate. Grant's graduated. His brothers have graduated. Hundreds of pounds lost between us. Here's the deal. You go through the holiday season, right? It starts around Thanksgiving. you backslide a little bit. You have all the healthy meals, not the healthy meals. You have the bad meals, right? You eat all the starches, you eat all the delicious pies. Then it's Christmas time right away. Then you're going to the family, eating, you know, their marshmallow this and the stuffing that. Next thing you know, a bunch of desserts and casseroles and fruitcakes. You look at yourself January 1st, go, I'm going to start my resolution. It lasts for 14 minutes. Then you're back to where you were over the holidays again. Let EMP 180 get you off of that roller coaster. They've done it for me, okay? You get a meal that's not good for you, right? You put on a little weight. I have the tools, thanks to EMP, to get right back down to where I want to be. You know who else recognized that? The Washington Capitals. They partnered with the D.C. area's leader in health, nutrition, and weight loss, EMP 180. You got to give them a chance to let you live a healthier and happier life. I've done it. So many of our listeners have done it. You should do it too. Take control. Call them. 855-888-0180. That's 855-888-0180. Or online at emp180.com. Grant and Andy with you here on The Fan. Pete Medhurst in for GP this week. A little over 10 minutes from now, we'll talk to our buddy Jerry Brewer. We're tracking down on the old horn our buddy Craig Lachlan for his weekly spot, talking about the Caps at the All-Star break. Pete, do you like the rule that a guy's got to sit out? If he doesn't play in the All-Star game?
No, but I think it stinks. Look, I would much rather my guys sit out the All-Star game than rob my customers who come to watch the hometown guy every night, depending on where that guy is. Or in the case if it's the first game on the road, somebody may have saved up money because they want to see Alexander Ovechkin when he comes to their city. Mm-hmm. Say it's the one and only time maybe that they come there, and you rob customers of doing that. If you want to fine him for missing the game, fine. No problem with that. That go ahead and do that. But don't deprive your everyday customers who buy season tickets, who specifically buy tickets to watch great players when they come to that city, deprive them of that opportunity. I mean, it's bad enough that players get hurt and sometimes can't perform on their own. But when the league specifically suspends you and takes you off the ice when someone may have specifically bought tickets for that game to see that particular player coming to their town, I think that makes this kind of a bogus deal by the NHL. They need to reconsider what they're doing there.
So I hear what you're saying. I don't mind it that bad. You need to figure out what these exhibitions are, because that's all they are, is exhibitions.
It's an exhibition game. So why take a guy off of the ice in a game that means something when it's an exhibition game? Simple exhibition game. That's all it is. Doesn't determine home ice.
Doesn't determine anything.
Nothing. The way this thing is set up now, it's just a... It's like pickup. It's a pickup game between division teams. Hey, it's great. All right. You know, it's 10-9. It's 8-7. Big deal. Big deal. It's an exhibition game. Do not cost the team 2 points in a real game because of an exhibition game.
Well, so what you're talking about, though, is with the fans in the real game who are deprived, and you're trying to prop up this showcase for fans. So I understand that. I'm with you. It doesn't sit right with me, but I get why.
It's not like you have an epidemic of all of the All-Stars not showing up. If that happens, then certainly you would have to come up with some kind of drastic action maybe to figure out what you've got to do with your All-Star weekend to make it better. But people are still going to go to the All-Star game. People are not going to not come to the All-Star game.
They need to find a way to make it more palatable on television. And it doesn't get the numbers that it should. I think it's kind of where people are in terms of leagues.
It's a fun concept. It's a fun concept, but we should never, ever cost our teams 2 points in the standings. Regular customers, season ticket holders should not be penalized because a guy chose not to play in an exhibition game.
Well, leagues that are nationally local, aka the NHL, Major League Baseball, right, where you don't get the big television ratings for like the game of the week or the championship rounds. You don't.
100%.
People care about their local team.
Yes.
And they need to find a way to make this like a national thing. It just hasn't happened yet. The NFL is a national league, man. You know what I mean? It just is. You got your fantasy teams, you got your own interest. Speaking of the Capitals. Alex Ovechkin, first star of the week. You get that when you score 8 goals in 3 games.
That'll
by the
do
way,
it.
What happened in that first game? You only had 2. It's like, are you even trying, bro? You got to bet money right now. You got to go to the window. Charlestown races and slots. You got to put, all the money. All the Pete Medhurst money down from all your jobs. You have 71 jobs. All the money you made from all the 71 jobs sitting there in the Scrooge McDuck money bin. You got to put it on Alex Ovechkin. Does he pass Gretzky or not? You got to put that money down right now.
I'm going to say no based on this one thing. Danny, he plays so hard every single night he's on the ice. And I just, he's the bot, what he does to keep his body in the amazing shape he does through all the years he has already has been amazing, because that guy gives you what you pay for every single night you come to the rink. And I just don't know, 4-5 years into this now down the road here, that that can keep up for him at the same level for 78 to 80 games a season. I mean, unless he's just a, that one specific athlete that is superhuman and is able to get through stuff. Obviously, he plays hurt now. I mean, there's no way the guy's 100% every night that he comes out on the ice. But, you know, he just plays so hard. I just wonder about how his body bounces back for him, you know, 3 and 4 years down the road, so he stays at the supreme level that he's at right now, that he would have to stay at to get to that number.
He's at 692 right now. Wayne Gretzky, 894. A difference of 202 goals.
Mm-hmm.
Two things. One thing has already happened, and a second thing for me needs to happen for me to be ultimately satisfied. Obviously, this is... This career is above reproach. I'm not criticizing anything. I'm saying for me to really derive ultimate happiness, here's what I want. He already passed that SOB Mario Lemieux,
mm-hmm.
who tormented me and the Washington Capitals forever.
By the way, look in your rearview mirror. Here come the Penguins again, by the way. 4 points back.
The true evil never dies. And Sidney Crosby and company are right there. They're nasty again. They're the team that you have to get past. I don't care what the standings say. It's always Pittsburgh. Period, end of story for me. And that's what made that run so special, is they beat those bastards and all the Yinzers had to go home to their GEDs and empty houses toothless mouths and suffer. Ovechkin at 692 passed Lemieux. That means a ton to me as a Capitals fan. F that guy. Now, he's gone through a ton in his life. Lemieux saved hockey in Pittsburgh. I don't care about that. I just care about what he did to me as a Capitals fan. Constantly there. Constantly his teams. Him and... Ron Francis and everybody that he played with.
Joey Mullen.
Oh, I hate all those guys. Every one of those Penguins can rot in hell for all I care. Passing Lemieux is amazing. There's one name. There's one more name for me. You chase that sumbitch down and you pass him. And that's Jaromir Jagr. You will pass Jaromir Jagr, Ovi. You understand me? However you got to do it. It's cool if you pass Marc Messier and Marcel Dion and Gordie Howe. Those are all cool names. Phil Esposito, I have no animosity. I have no animus. I got plenty of animus. I got plenty of anger left for Jaromir Jagr for two reasons. One, the torment. Two, what you did here. You ruiner of things. You cruise control.
It took our cash.
Couldn't be bothered to try. Now, right. Ultimately led to us getting Ovechkin because it didn't work. They got rid of him for 10 cents on the dollar. And then, you know, the Caps tanked and they got Ovi with the pick. I understand how the history goes. He can rot in hell. I need you to catch Jaromir Jagr for me. He's at 766. You end up with 767. I'm pleased. I'm thrilled even. But you will pass him. Number 8. I love you so much. You've given me so much already. Can you give me this one more thing? Just one
he'll get,
more
knock
thing.
Knock on wood. He'll get there. And Gretzky, you got to remember, Wayne Gretzky not only never really hit people, he never really got hit either. So, you know,
you couldn't hit
from
him.
That standpoint, look, most of the time, you did not took us on Wayne Gretzky. That dude skated as freely as anybody maybe in NHL history.
And listen, and the league is different, and I will say this until I'm blue in the face, Ovechkin's the greatest goal scorer of all time, even if the numbers don't bear that out because of the era that he's playing in. Okay, it's the opposite of what the NFL has happened, right, where you look at some of the passing numbers of guys like Joe Montana and you know some of the greats that I ever saw. That's a below-average quarterback now. The league's changed. This league changed in the opposite direction. In the 80s, it was, you know, 7-3 every night with what those teams were doing. With you know, Paul Coffey and Grant Fuhr and, you know, Yari Curry and company. Those Oilers teams were ridiculous. 200-point seasons were the norm. Now, if you get 75 or 80 points, you're a superstar. 200 points Wayne Gretzky would pull into. And that's what the beginning of Lemieux's career, he was doing that before injuries and things derailed him. But looking at Gretzky, that seemed an impossible dream. It's not impossible anymore. He's 202 goals behind with some season left this year. And if you put up, you know, a handful of seasons, 35, 40 goals, you could start knocking on that door. The name I care about, though, Jaromir Jagr. Another name I care about is Jerry Brewer. He's going to join us at 102, break down the Super Bowl. Our buddy from the Washington Post, Jerry Brewer, will join Grant and Danny, a.k.a. Danny and Pete Medhurst, who's in for GP. That is 5 minutes away here on The Fan. Guys, Danny Rhea here for my pals at Ted Britt Ford. Ford. They're celebrating over 60 years in the business. 60 years. Tedbert Ford, treating you great. I love Tedbert Ford, and here's how I prove that. Okay, I've been three times to get three different cars from Tedbert Ford. You don't do that with someplace you don't like, right? It's like a restaurant that gives you great service. Like the Percival Family Restaurant gave me great service. If I'm in Percival, I'm going back there. I love those guys. I love Tedbert Ford. They are the pancakes of car service. See what I'm saying? Delicious, delicious food stuff, and they'll serve breakfast after 10:30. I love Tedbert Ford. Okay, I got my Fusion from there. I'm driving right now. My lease is up pretty soon on that bad boy. I'm going right back to Tedbert Ford, probably in June at some point. Look for a different car from me from Tedbert Ford. The wife's got herself the Edge. We love it. We love Tedbert Ford. These guys are the best, okay? Go see them. You'll be treated incredibly well. It's the best buying experience in D.C. in the metro area for my money, okay? They will give you a little something called Tedbert Confidence for Life. That's Tedbert for Life. That's powertrain, service loaners, battery replacement, windshield repair, nitro tire fill, and complimentary Virginia State inspection, all for life of the vehicle. Prices can't be beat. You don't pay them anything for 60 days on pretty much everything on the model, and out of those 60 years, I'm telling you, you'll love Tedbert Ford. Go see them. When you do, tell me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.